First off, I'd like to hopefully love to see this education proposal get funded, because as a person who teaches children from all the different communities, the dropout rate in the city is alarming. We've got to put curbs on it. We've got to get better supplies and support for our teachers. I think cash was pretty good to have one. I was driving down to the airport, one of my many holiday runs to pick up relatives, and of course, listen to KPFK. I listened to Brad Blog, and it was on gun control. And I have to say, it was a very stimulating, thought-provoking show. I thought it showed the best of what we do in mobilizing our community on a really nationally important issue with the safety of our children. I did think that the call-in opportunity for listeners during a time when there was such a heightened interest in the subject was tremendous. And I think if anybody was flipping through channels and they heard the discussion, they would stay with it. And I thought that many of the really great points were given from our listener members. So I think that, and I was listening on the way down to Earl Hutchinson, and also we have some really good calls from listeners, which translates to me that the shows where we do reach out to our listening base are doing well. So thank you for calling in the other night. But it's kind of exciting to hear where the calls are coming from and how many people we reach. But it does empower the people in the community to feel like they really will have a voice in the building a community of concerned people. Also, I just want to say with the voting thing that on the con, I need to time myself. But just one last thought was, I just put together, and I had volunteers, thank you, Fred, at the Green Topanga Festival. And I checked with my volunteers, and none of them got ballots, which to me was very disheartening, because I spent the morning putting together the names and submitting them. Now, the person who was responsible for getting them to Nashville did apologize to me, and I accepted their apology. But then I went further, and they asked me if I would also submit the names to the National Election Supervisor. I called. I asked them to confirm my call that they received the information. They never confirmed this. I sent an email, and I asked them, would they please confirm that they received my email, and they didn't confirm it. So at this point, I think that the PMB directors here should just really dump this group and never, ever use them again. Thank you.
Unless we have a motion to extend, we're
fine. Motion to extend for 5 minutes.
Okay.
Second.
Any objection to extend for 5 minutes?
10, may I modify that to 10?
I'll go second.
Any comments?
We will take 7.5 minutes of public comment for extending this for 5. Mr. Grumshow, last 4 hands up, so a minute and a half, please.
I just wanted to say it was a good experience to take calls from listeners, and we, I think, should try to do this more often. The more often we do it, the more participation people feel. Right after that, I had a call-in on my own show, Politics and Pedagogy, and we had a lot of callers, and I started in a way that I think was appropriate for the shooting that took place at the school with someone who deals with nonviolent education. And I think that is really in keeping with our mission to provide an alternate view of some of the important issues that we cover. So the more opportunity, I agree with those people who have said that we need to have call-ins, because the more opportunity we give people to participate, the more they feel involved and committed to the station. Just to be clear, that was a reference to the on-air town hall that we did. John Crumshow, Jim Lafferty, YG, and myself, good calls on that.
And thank you for doing that.
Rodrigo.
How much are you paying for Allison? If we need to have a contact with them, if we have a contact, we have to respect it. We have that one question. And then the other thing is that, you know, especially for so many people here that don't like to listen to the words, you know, discriminatory. But this process of the local station board and elections is really discriminatory. There was no announcement, you know, up to now. And I'm assuming that maybe we are going to have a tendency to blame others. But we need to blame ourselves, you know. How come, you know, even up to now, you know, the announcements, the cards are playing in English? Even during the Spanish language programming hours, the announcements are being playing in English. Now, I've got so many people who call that number, and I say, like, I cannot read on record because this is English. So, the issue is that even the forum, someone said that there was a bilingual forum, I didn't hear. I mean, like, I don't know, maybe somebody clarified. But there was no announcement. So, do you have any extensions of the Spanish language listeners? Do you know the numbers, you know? Do we have any Spanish in terms of how many of the Spanish language listeners, you know, are really voting? You know, because yes, they're not. Some people would say, you know, something, you know, about the membership of the Spanish language program, but, you know, there's a big difference between paying, you know, $500 for one premium and by one people, and, you know, 50 people pay that amount of money, right? So those are good, right? And
there was a question about the arbitration contract.
How much quarterly?
Yeah, the upcoming colleague is about $25,000 a year. We do not get to the breakdown.
That's quarterly.
We don't get detailed breakdown. It's actually more than that. We don't get detailed breakdown in terms of demographics. No, we don't. But that would cost us an awful lot more. It would be helpful, yeah.
Do you get breakdowns in terms of the question I asked that you didn't answer? You said that Spanish language doesn't do well because it's at night. But compared to English language at night, how does Spanish language do?
We don't get a daily breakdown. We get a weekly breakdown. We get
Monday to
Friday.
Is there any way to determine whether the arbitrage with Spanish language programming is actually doing better than English?
Mr. Eisenberg, you're out of order.
I never got an answer to that question. Can we talk about that separately? Because I don't have the answer either.
Go ahead.
Did you have a comment? Go ahead.
Thank you. I've heard a number of things. I mean, this is a great discussion. One of the things that Bernard said lingers in my mind. I read it, I listened to it, and maybe because the way I'd like to hear it, but it's fascinating, important, and very constructive. And related to our core mission of deciding what our programming is and what our product is and who our listenership is, I heard him say that was the responsibility of the board. If you look at and characterize the Masters and characterize Amy Goodman and characterize Gary Noll and characterize aspects of the diversity of our Spanish language programming, I think you have very, very different things that we're talking about. And we've talked before about I think we probably all agree we've got to have a big test at KPFK but it doesn't include the whole universe, and it's a real important discussion. I do not, and I think the general manager said that's you folks decide whether you're liberal, you know, anti-communist, decide whether you're labor-based critique, decide whether you're health products, decide, you know, what you are. We got to do that. Mr. Chair, could you, if it's appropriate to ask you, where are we with the forum? I think you've been instrumental in talking about mission-based programming, objective-based programming. I think we need to do that. I'm not going to be here. Many of you will. We got to do that. If we do that, we do nothing else. That's what we got to do, because it's got financial impact, as Leonard and others have pointed out, and it's got a whole lot of impact on the community.
It's going to be here.
And so, a couple of points of information I wanted to pass on. One, on our website, the last time I checked a couple of days ago, it still said that the tentative extension was to January. It was not tentative, so I can forward you Terry Burrish's decision on that. It's a definite extension to January 8th now. Secondly, in terms of the blank ballot, that there has been no determination by Terry Parishes on that. I'm the one that had raised that this has been acceptable in the past, but it's never been formalized into any kind of a report that I know. There are plenty of local license providers that could attest to it, but there has been no determination by Terry Parishes, so I urge us not to ask people to send in blank ballots. Then next is, as far as what Summer said, because we did a mailer, Otis had to send a second email with the same, within minutes, but with to our printing house with volunteers, which were a couple hundred. It was over 200. So he sent the one, and then he said, oh, I forgot to do it on Tuesday, or whatever, and then he sent another one. So there was a volunteer list. Some of this has to come back to governance. We need to make sure, since it's the LSB committees, not the LSB, where our volunteer hours are counted, as was supported by the court case back at WAIGO. Anyway, so that's something that we need to do, what John Gary does, which is take copious minutes at our committee meetings, and so we can deal with that later.
All right, thank you. Quick comment, if you have any public comment, please.
We might help to improve the voting turnout if we have the people here running.
We might improve the voter turnout if we have the people running speak to themselves and not have someone, there's a voice that is speaking for about 5 or 6 different people. And I was asked, well, who is running? I was saying, hey, boy, what's going on? So I don't know what the rule is, but if there is not one, you ought to have one so that what the language matters if the person speaks themselves. Over there.
Thank you. We're going to go to public comment. Does somebody pass the mic back there? I'm sorry, we're out of time.
I just want the public to have equal time that we
had. The public has 7.5 minutes in each comment period.
That's not equal time.
It's not what it is.
Please pass the mic back to the public. We have 7.5 minutes to vote comment. Historically, a minute and a half a person.
Hi, I want to address three areas. Greg Plunder did question some good things here, but I need now to decide whether I'm a socialist, a liberal, communist, anarchist. I am a socialist, and I don't hear any socialism on KPFK. So that's the number one fight. The other one is I am an atheist. All I hear is Jesus and his wisdom on KPFK. Moving on. John Cronshaw, the night that I called in when the LSB had the address to the listeners, you were very smart as soon as I spoke and asked the question to say, hey, the LSB has no power. Well, that is not true. Thank you, John Cronshaw. Caution, not all programmers are created equal. Ian Masters would not be a programmer that I want him to outreach to for the ballot because he has little all the candidates for years and has said wonderful things about the candidates for the LSB. It must be taken out, and he should not be one person that outreaches because they know exactly what he's going to do. And if a programmer is asked to outreach, he must not present any position whatsoever except to ask in a generality. And caution also, like Ian Masters that I said, there are other people like him. The only people that will not insult and will not insult the very process. Rodrigo has tried to talk about why is it there has been no translation whatsoever in a goodwill effort for Spanish-speaking programming of all the elections. And this is what's killing us.
I spent a lot of time in the thumb drive . I think we need to look at fulfillment. The Ian Masters show had a lot of filming. That is not the standard in our current thumb drive. Most of it's on credit cards.
From 10,000.
Our elections in this county are handled in 13 languages. How we create a member of our corporation filed with our Secretary of State under our bylaws is very specific. I noticed that the fill-in sheets for volunteers on this fund drive have no place on that sheet for time in, time out, which completely destroys the ability to create yourself as a corporate member.
Yes, I was at the station during the Iran Master. I got three calls. Bill me $300. And I received a telephone call. It was Mr. from New York.
Gary No.
He asked me, how much did I make this hour? I said, what the hell are you talking, you know? Don't talk to me, talk to Harry Guy. I give it to you. The question is, I could prove it, document it. I go around and during the Spanish program, I come with, you know, 20 membership, $20, $25. Why we have to preempt all these programs that they make money, $500? Why we don't, you know, freedom now. I could document that I came with, you know, 20 membership of freedom now be done. Please, let people to hear this program.
The mic.
All right. Thank you.
Okay, we got to cut through a lot of this BS that goes on here and call a spade, as they say. What we have here is privatization. This KPFK is privatized right now.
Right.
You have three or four people who run the show. It's Alan Minsky, Ian Masters, Arnie Duncan, and others in the makeup of power. And they're the ones that set the policy. The policy is supposed to be set by the LSB. It doesn't happen. All we have here is a bunch of clowns, not all of you, some of you, and just sit here back and forth and don't do anything, just, you know, run your mouth. But the solution to all this, especially the thing that they can't even run an election correctly, and he didn't see it, it's back and forth, who's really at fault? And is there a reason for nobody being at fault or taking responsibility for this? It's part of the thing, it's called creating chaos to be able to keep the masses under control. And that's what's going on by these three or four people at the et al. Office, the guy who's the engineer, and Jennifer Kaiser. She's the one that's supposed to be raising money. Development, right? Where is it? How much money has she developed? Okay, there is nothing going on here. So therefore, I'm going to start a movement to fire those four or five people that I already talked about. And I think if you're really serious about, you know, making some policy and having an input, you will go along with getting rid of them. Arnie, Alan, let me finish, make the name. Ian Masters, Jennifer Kaiser, get rid of them. If not, this program, this station is going to go down further than what it already is. Thank you.
I just have a couple of things to say. In the same line as Augustine was talking about, I see many things. I go to KPFK a lot, and I see many things. I've gotten into arguments with Ian Masters. There's a lot of racism. KPFK, and Ian Masters is behind, and Alan Minsky are the kind of contribute to it. Mansoor, I see many incidents.
Right.
What I wanted to say is, for example, Jennifer Kaiser, I even asked her one time, how come that guy goes up and down the hall yelling at everybody in the computer room everywhere? And I've had many complaints about Ian Masters. I've gotten into arguments with him. And even Gessa Ford will tell you that he was talking to Alan Minsky and he called Mumia Abu Jamal. He says, I don't like him.
It's a fraud.
Yeah.
It is a fraud.
Right. And there's many other things. I see too much. And as far as the democracy at KPFK, as far as the elections go, I think they're the same as the U.S. government election. Corrupt a lot.
Maybe just have one last comment.
Could we move to finish the...
One last comment?
Can I see it later? Can I
see
it again later?
I'm very confused about something, and that is that the discussion on Arbitrons. Could you clarify me, are we paying $25,000 for Arbitrons? I thought we had voted to not use Arbitrons.
We're locked into a contract.
What?
We're locked into a contract.
Oh. how long's the contract?
Yeah, I think it's about 2 years.
Well, I certainly don't think we should use them.
Can you take one more, please?
No, there's another period of public comment for the last time.
Oh, the man who will still be here.
Can we please move to our adjournment? I mean, there's just one more person.
And real quickly, on the listener thing, we used to have surveys. By snail mail, we could still do that. The one that was sent out with the ballot was pathetic. I don't know who made it, but just pathetic. It's hardly adequate. But worse than that, they aren't followed up when you make them. Unless you have a good survey and follow up, it's pointless. And we have email now. At least half of our members are on email, according to Terry Gall. At least half or more. We ought to make use of that. And so whether you like arbitrary or not is almost irrelevant. We need to have our own survey and then analyze them and follow up on them, on the elections. What can I say? It's a disaster, all right. And Stoll, whom I met, is a very nice Stoll, and I mean this sincerely, but he's not competent to handle this operation. No. There's no two ways about it. I'm sorry he isn't. He should be here. Not to be put on the spot, but to try to listen and to learn from it. For one thing, example, a Dutch merit has been disqualified because he was supposedly on the air improperly. Well, I don't think that's the case, but if it is, then you're going to disqualify John Cromshaw. You're going to disqualify other candidates who had more
staff candidates. They're not held to the same standard as listener candidates. They're on the air because they're on staff in many cases.
I stand by what I just said. If you're going to disqualify one candidate, it's one thing than others ought to be. I say none of them should be for that basis. There are lesser punishments that are available and you're using the past. I have more to say, but I get my time is up on this.
Okay, I'm sorry. Michelle, you're going to have to leave.
That's okay.
Please. Excuse me, just stop. Just stop and leave, Bella, now.
So that would also add a point to Rodrigo.
That was on your earlier comments.
Excuse me.
Rodrigo.
Okay, I'll clarify one last time. The restriction on going on air is only for listener candidates getting an unfair advantage over other listener candidates with the listening public. Staff candidates are not prescribed from being on the air because in many cases they will be programmers. That's how they qualify as staff. So Rodrigo Argueta is on the air. He's a staff candidate. There's no problem. John Crumshaw is on the air. He's a staff candidate. There's no problem.
He should have never been.
Excuse me, Bella, I asked you nicely to leave because you called out too many times. So I'd like you to comply, please, with that polite request. No, I'm not asking you not to say anyone. I'm asking you to leave. Thank you.
Mr. Crumshaw has the floor for a point of personal privilege.
He should have never been on the air with you. That was a major violation.
Margie,
okay.
You're wrong. You're completely wrong. It's no
violation.
Please escort her out.
No one has to fucking escort her out. I will escort myself, thank you.
Why me? Because you're there. Because
the board agrees that the board will have the privileges that there's only ways they can have. But, Michael, you have explained this very well. Previously, Jim Lafferty ran and was a staff candidate. It's because staff votes for staff. The public doesn't vote for staff. The reason that the listener candidates are not allowed to be on the air is because they receive advantage, unfair advantage over other listeners.
Oh.
Now, the issue that was raised as far as what the board and the board power is to be the commission I made clear was that when I was chair, and as I read the bylaws now, the local station board is advisory, and all advice to be listened to should be credible, to present yourself as a credible source of information so that people will listen means that you would present something in a way that other people would want to pay attention. However, if you had a dysfunctional situation, perhaps the advice would not be helpful.
There's time for any further comments. There's time for the gentleman to respond if he wishes, and then we're moving on the agenda.
Okay.
He said he responded to moving on. So we have the DMV director report, and there will be an additional public comment to that.
Lydia just points at me. I guess I'm starting.
Sure.
And I think one of our directors left already. I wanted to make one of those points about our elections. It's not necessarily part of P&B director's report. Again, since I haven't seen a ballot, I can't attest to this, but I did receive a complaint at the national office from someone who had conducted one of our previous elections that this ballot only had room to rank 15 people. So we may get that may invalidate the election also from an FTV perspective because there weren't sufficient room on there to rank everyone who was running. So just to bring more litigation possibilities to our attention. Most of my attention has been predominantly on the East Coast since I saw you all last month. Washington, D.C. made a series of dramatic programming changes which have not been well received by the local community, in my opinion, on any level, shape, or form. And it does not seem that there was anything near sufficient communication with all of the different constituencies involved. So I went to D.C. And attended a town hall where 200 to 300 people came, and there was not one positive comment about the new programming changes. All of them were against them. And then I met with union staff, with management, and attended the LSB meeting in Washington, D.C. I would consider that to still be an ongoing situation in need of further attention and certainly not resolved at this point. The Washington, D.C. station is moving into new facilities, so that part is moving forward. We're currently in the process of figuring out what the equipment is going to look like and who all is going to be involved with that. And I can't really elaborate on that further, but things are moving forward quickly with moving the D.C. station. Our New York City station is still very much impacted by the aftermath of Hurricane Sandy, as well as the really dire economic situation the station was in before that hit. And it is also in the process of moving as we speak. In a fashion that is requiring, again, more communication with everyone who is involved. And I think there is some, a lot needs to go on, particularly to the unpaid programmers in New York so they know what's happening. Because at the moment, the station has already begun moving its administrative facilities to some free office space in Lower Manhattan. And we have looked at studio space. That was what I did in New York, was go review the new studio space, which is at the upper end of the island. So we are looking at a transitional situation in which the station will be, frankly, spread out across Manhattan in two locations, which will be difficult for them. So we are going to continue to work on finding some annex facilities to sort of bring it all together. But the station is in the process also of moving at this point in time. That should have a significantly positive financial impact on the situation in New York in the long run. But it's going to require a lot of attention. I will probably have to go back out to the East Coast fairly shortly to make sure everything is going correctly in terms of dealing with this situation because it's very much in motion at the moment. National office continues to see improvements. Payroll is, I would say, straightened out at this point fairly. Benefits caught up. There were lots of issues for various employees regarding some benefits, things that had gone on before I went into this position. So we're getting all those things straightened out. The auditor has been engaged and are coming into the office next week to begin the audit. Books are still being cleaned up and reconciled. No intercompany receivables or billbacks have been reconciled for over a year when I got into the office, so we are in the process of continuing to clean up the very messy situation that we found there, and working with managers and staff around the country in terms of improving processes both to deal with time and attendance, various things that we need to bring into legal compliance, as well as uploading payroll information in a more efficient fashion at the local level so that it's easier to process nationally. So all that is seeing significant improvements. We got our CPB funding in. That took about a month on my part of pounding on CPB, but we did get all of our CSG grant money in as of this week. Some came in last Friday, and the remaining stations came in on Christmas Eve. So we got $731,000 in network-wide. We had been dinged on the... Does it come to wrap up? Okay, well, I'll wrap up. The CPB had conducted an audit and there were several audit findings as to how business had been conducted in the network previously. Among them were the fact that National Office simply retained CPB funds against the station bill at sometimes. So we're changing all those procedures so that the money is properly tracked and allocated to the individual stations, and correcting the rest of the audit findings with managers. And that's where we're at right now. Thank you.
No comments from other directors?
I did, but I forgot.
He loses
me every time.
can't
talk
that
stuff. No,
if
I can reserve a
second.
Sure.
This is
one.
How much time?
4 minutes.
What I'll do is I'll just talk about the New Pacifica Act, because it's a national development.
Uh-huh.
And see if I can get it to run here. It's an iPad, iPhone, and Android app. What it allows you to do is listen to any of the Pacifica stations directly on your device. There's KPFK. If you like the station, you can share it Twitter, Facebook, email, or message. You can also make KPFK your background. Let's go to another station. Berkeley. Right, you can like it, you can favorite it. If you like something you're hearing, you can leave a comment. Twitter, Facebook, by email. You can also interact with other listeners. Let me just stop this. One of the things that's really cool about it is the newsfeed section. And what this does is it pulls in news stories from Democracy Now!, FSRN, Uprising, Pacific Evening News, Sojourner Truth. So you have real-time stories that are all in one place, and you can click on any of them. You can get the specific story. You can share the story with, you know, Facebook, Twitter, other social networking groups. You can also leave comments about the story. You can send it, download it. This is something about North Carolina. There's this was interesting. This morning I noticed the other Brandley Manning, Jeremy Hammond. I didn't even know about him. He was one of the people that's being held without being charged, without being tried for 9 months now for alleged leaks to WikiLeaks. We have a support button. You can support right from the app. The little control panel down here gives you the latest items that have been uploaded to all around the network. We have links, direct links to all of our major shows, the ability to donate directly to a specific station or show, also links to the online archive. Favorites, you can mark anything as a favorite. These are my three favorite stations, and I can directly jump to them. We have events, and the events will give you a map to the event, and it'll map a route to wherever you are. If you allow the app to know where you are, it'll geolocate and send you directions to an event that you're going to, specific or whatever. We have a video stream, we have a fan wall, we have a mailing list, we have the Pacifica mission statement and history, and we have, here's an example of the map that's showing all the Pacifica locations. And we're also doing one thing amongst the stations, is every month we're featuring an affiliate. This month we're featuring WORT in the Madison, Wisconsin. What we plan to do is, see, we have the streams of WORT, we'll build out our featured affiliate stations, because some of the affiliate stations are really fantastic. I feel they don't get the attention or publicity around the network that they deserve. Some of them are really, I mean, I think some of them are better than some of ours.
You're right.
Maybe because they have...
Maybe because they have community radio.
Yeah.
That they have the tools.
And so I wanted to say that this is a free app. You can go to the website, you can go to iTunes, you can go to Google Play, download it and put on your device right now and start listening. And this was made possible. Originally, Arlene Engelhardt gave me the tools to start, and Summer and Bernard allowed this to go through. It didn't cost the network anything to develop it. I developed it on my own time. The only thing it's costing us is monthly hosting, which we got a very special rate. Because we're non-profit, and I worked with them for a long time, and I hope that this grows our listenership far beyond the terrestrial airwaves.
Great. Thank you.
Okay, so this is just, and Fred Blair might, who's also on the elections committee, might remember this discussion. As far as the length of the ballot goes, that's what dictated the number of candidates. I was certainly against cutting it off. But because we had so many candidates at KPFK, it exceeded the length of the maximum paper that could be scanned into their equipment. And it just is what it is. It wouldn't have fit LaFrati's machine either, because I was there when we were doing LaFrati. It would, if True Ballot hasn't changed how they do it, they hand scan it. So that would be fine, and it should at least be something. But if you have a set tray, and that's what your machine can take, then that's all that it can do. Terry's assessment was also that that far down the ballot, those fractional votes do not affect. I think what he missed was the fact that maybe it doesn't affect who gets seated, but it certainly affects the alternates, and we know that from experience. Now, unfortunately, this year, it's unlikely that we'll go, assuming that we make quorum, it's unlikely that in a few months we would have used up, you know, our alternates, for example. But if we carry over into different situations, those alternates count. So again, it's something we didn't think of ahead of time. And again, half of the things that went wrong, have to do with our lack of foresight as well, and dotting our I's and our T's. So we should spend more time locally discussing some of these issues once we start.
That's right.
We did object to at the PND election meeting that Terry raised that proposal, and Jeff has raised, and you know, he just overweighed.
It's completely up to the auditors which stations. I mean, we did alert the auditors to the fact that KPFK has not received a site visit in at least the last three audits that I'm aware of. So they are aware that it is a station that has not seen an auditor in quite a while. So I would imagine that might prioritize it for them. But we
Wisdom visited
with
us last year.
Did he visit you?
No.
In Wisdom? Okay. Well, again, it's in the hands of the auditors, and I imagine they will do as they see fit.
Okay, the only comment I'm going to make on the STB ballot, the fact that there's only room for ranking to the 20th level on the ballot is really, I had a private discussion with Terry, a private email exchange with Terry on this, and what he wanted to do, and I think he did, is he wants people to rank people at the 20th level. If they have, they want ranked below 20th level, just rank everybody that they want ranked there at the 20th level. And it's perfectly logical, because in STB elections, the ballots never usually get evaluated deeper than about 6 levels. And there's not even a fractional. The people that you rank below 6 contribute to the fractional vote, because they never get there. Most ballots just get, as I say, get evaluated to a maximum level of 6. The software never even sees the 20th level, if anybody is willing to go that deep as a practical matter. So I think Terry's decision was practical.
Terry.
Additional comments or questions?
If the Spanish-speaking listeners are disenfranchised, how can this be considered a legal election?
Yeah.
balance, there's been some discrimination in the opposite direction as well. So, for example, there, and I told Sol this the day before he did it, that in Sol, you cannot have a second forum for just the Spanish language program people, candidates. If you have a Spanish language forum, it has to be for all of the candidates. That was the spirit of our LFP motion. And he said, well, I'm not going to do that. And I said, why not? And I said, you have the power to direct Alan Minsky to give you the time. He said, well, what makes you think it'll give you any more time than he will me? And he basically laid it off as if Alan wouldn't give him the thing. And I moved that to the list, and Jim Lafferty jumped on me. He said, why did I jump to that conclusion? Sol didn't even ask. Well, okay, Sol did or not ask. Ultimately, he has to, he's the one who's responsible locally here, and Terry above him. And I think we've all noted that Sol has not done the best job possible. We haven't had the thing here. So I was discriminated because I didn't speak Spanish. I couldn't be on the forum with the three Spanish speakers. It has been a mess, and I'll just say that. There was another comment, but I forgot.
We're at time, so we need a motion to extend if we want to. And bear in mind that we're not going to be here all night.
It's been 5 minutes. We have
3 people.
I just wanted to mention that one of the local boards, one of the local failings on our part was that in past elections, the most successful ones, still struggling to make quorum, but we didn't, were to have an election committee. Neither Sol, nor Bernard, have ever had experience with our elections, which are like no other, right? And so they had no idea when you talk about a bilingual forum. I'm not defending it because I think there were people you could have gone through or whatever, but non-candidates should think about becoming part of a local elections committee. Israel has done it, among other people. There have been several people here who have volunteered to do that. I think Fred has been involved in the past. But that's the point. So there are things that we can do in advance, and I urge everyone here to do that, because we don't know who's going to respond to be a local election supervisor. We might have someone else who is equally as experienced in world elections, but not necessarily in something that's specific. So specific as specific.
Second comment, very quick.
No.
Well, I just like to point out that when I ran, I remember that I was included in the Spanish language forum, and I do have a lot of friends in that community, so it did help me get those. I have a Latino pain partner that meets with me, and we work together 4 days a week. So actually, I was welcome that opportunity, and I think vice versa is true. So I know that the last time when we had problems as well, I was really upset because even back at that time, the Spanish language translation and English were not up on the website that whole period, too. And I thought we would have learned from that. And it takes all of, I think maybe what we could do as a board, I don't know if this would be allowed or get task force people, but I have no problem uploading photos and, uploading text. The fact that that couldn't have been done in a single day just boggles my mind.
That's right.
It's ridiculous. For any of us here who are computer literate, I sent out a newsletter. I get those pictures up, all the text in. It could have been, let's pass on a day, a week. It could be done for all these candidates. It's ridiculous. So maybe what we could do as a board is after this election period, or maybe during it, God knows how long it's going to go on for, but I think that we should deliver a letter to the election supervisor about what we would like to see done immediately.
Okay.
So just to report to people, I did explain to Sol at the very beginning of the process what was done last time, which was that all the forums were also conducted in Spanish with translation during the Spanish-speaking programming block. And why it wasn't done that way this time, I'm primarily on the election supervisor. I think we need to acknowledge that. The
when the statements went up on the website, only in English, I translated a sample website statement into Spanish, just using Google Translate, corrected it, vetted it with Rodrigo, sent it back to them, and they did, at that point, then translate the statements, but not the Q&A. So I think there were many, many flaws. I think, however, the primary discrimination was not against the candidates, but against the Spanish-speaking listeners,
exactly,
who were denied the access to the information that they're supposed to get to be able to participate in the election. We should keep that in mind, although I agree that there was discrimination against candidates who could not speak Spanish. That's not the fundamental issue. The fundamental issue is that we prevented our listeners from getting the information needed to make informed participation in the election. So that's why I think that a job requirement, I'll reiterate that, and I'll make that, I think, a job requirement of the local election supervisor at station that broadcasts in Spanish is that they have to be bilingual in Spanish themselves.
Okay, I'll make it quick. I think what needs to come out of this, having witnessed one bad election after another since I've been here, this one being definitely among the worst. You know, there needs to be like a system-wide handbook that comes out of the elections committee. We hire people who don't know what they're doing, and some people are diligent and some people are not, and it's that simple. You know, the people that don't know and haven't done it before, but they really care, they figure out what needs to get done, and they do it. I mean, we've seen that before. We've supervisors who've never done this, but they sleep at the station if necessary to make sure they did the job. And I don't have to name names. We all know when that happens. You know, and that didn't happen here. I mean, I came to the station a week before the ballots went out, and the election supervisor had taken vacation, a contract employee was on vacation for a week before the ballots got out because there were no cards playing, and I was really alarmed. I said, why are there no cards playing when the ballots are going out? And I was told by management, the supervisor was gone. He just hadn't recorded the cards. He left. He didn't record the cards before he left, okay? I don't know legally and functionally whether being bilingual has to be a job requirement supervisor, but providing Spanish language translation as part of what needs to be done for doing the election needs to be a requirement. It's not a requirement that person be bilingual, but it is a requirement that we provide a translator, that we translate the statements. I participated in the bilingual forums a few times. Rodrigo, very active in the immigrant rights community. Of course I wanted to speak on the Spanish language programming. It's not fair to say some candidates get to do X and others don't. So that's right there in elections violation. So I think, you know, we need to have not only job descriptions, it would be great to say you've actually conducted an election before, but that hasn't always saved us either, because we've had people that also screwed up elections who've done this before in a different environment. We need to have all the criteria laid out. The parts that are management functions, like having an unpaid staff registry that's actually up to date, that needs to become part of a requirement for managers. And if it's not met, it's a write-up. It's that simple, you know. If you don't have addresses or anything, the list has to be delivered by a certain date, they have to be accurate, they have to be scrubbed. End of story. This all has to go into a manual that goes to everyone, every time we do one of these darn elections, so that no matter who we hire as a national election supervisor, and whoever they hire as a local supervisor, they get handed a manual that says, you need to cover all of these bases. If you don't, you didn't do your job. And it's that simple. That's what we've got to do, in my opinion. Thank you.
Since we're piling on, I might, well, one thing that I saw that was really sort of egregious was that management just decided, you know, we're not going to put any cards on until after a national election, in between the fund drive and the end of the election, which is about 3 weeks. So that was just a decision, and maybe the LES didn't push back as he should have. And but there's plenty of blame to go around about this.
So time for public comment.
Yeah,
this is basically directed at questions to the Pacific National Board directors, although we spent most of the time talking about the election.
Yeah, the counselor, so much, Michael.
Well, following up, previous supervisors have indeed written extensive reports. Now, whether or not those are read by anybody on a national level or even local level, and any kind of submission made, I don't know. I'm unaware of it. But it isn't that some of them, as someone said, did a diligent job to the point of reporting in great detail and surveying, but no follow-up. Mm-hmm. Like with our town halls and some of our meetings. Also, good idea, good question, but no follow-up, no implementation. Rodrigo knows what I'm talking about, don't you? So that's the most elementary thing about that. And I want to say my previous comment was not at all aimed against John Crumshaw. I didn't know something that. I'm just pointing out that the question of the equality of time on the air did not exist. People were on the air who had much more time than others. Some had very, very little. So the whole equality thing was very bad, which is why I think the penalty against Dustin Merrick is unwarranted. He, what he did was foolish, shouldn't have done it, but hardly a capital crime to disqualify him. I think it's outrageous, and I'd say the same to any other candidate.
Yeah, I agree there have been a lot of problems in this election. So many that left me practically breathless. The last comment about Judge Merrick, I absolutely disagree. Giving him essentially co-host status on one of the programs is just absurd and outrageous. This election has been nothing less than a comedy of errors. And maybe something about that. I'm not sure about Dr. Salary as a local election supervisor or something, but this is just crazy. As they used to say way back when, is this any way to run an airline?
No.